She sits like a bird, brooding on the waters, hovering on the chaos of the world's first day. She sighs and she sings, mothering creation, waiting to give birth to all the world will say. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth, the thoughts of our mind, and the meditation of our hearts be worthy unto you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Most Christians can quote Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But not many can continue and recall the very next verse. No, it's not God's famous declaration, "Let there be light," as many propose. No, to many it comes as a bit of a surprise. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. I have to admit, I too find that statement to be more than a little strange. It looks like God intentionally begins his creation by firstly making a dark, empty, formless, disorderly mess of material. And then, only in part two, as it were, does the Word go to work on the main construction task with the famous "let there be" lines. Let there be light. Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. Let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and so on. Nothing, however, happened randomly. It was sequential and highly ordered. And even today, marginal land and derelict industrial sites are recolonized by plants, shrubs, and trees in a highly ordered floral succession, with birds, insects, and animals subsequently completing the resultant faunal colonization. In the creation, every step proceeds as God directs. He is in control as he purposefully establishes his sovereignty over everything he has brought into existence. Yet this dark void is incredibly significant. Even today, scientists are still searching in the darkness to discover many more new cosmoses and planetary systems within God's great creative masterpiece. However, I believe the concept of the dark void is significant not only in the creation narrative, but beyond, defining many aspects of our faith and our Christian lives. Without doubt, its inclusion was intentional on God's behalf. By starting with chaos and darkness, God teaches us two truths about how he works. Firstly, God's word will bring order out of chaos. His word brings order out of chaos. And secondly, God's word will redeem what sin has destroyed, and light will overcome the darkness. So firstly, God's word brings order out of chaos. I was amused when my 3-year-old grandson Finley opened a pack of plasticine and with some accompanying moulds started to make some animal sculptures. Each animal he shaped comprised of a single colour: red lion, green bear, and purple giraffe. Before bedtime, however, Emma, his mother, tidied up his assembled creations, amassing them all into one large, multicoloured ball. This was not well received by Finlay, who, after examining the ball closely and failing in his efforts to extricate the badly squashed and somewhat misshapen giraffe, placed the ball in the waste paper bin, stating, "It's all just a big mess. I can't make anything anymore." And it reminded me that through creation, God did just this. He brought order and organization out of just such a similar big mess. When God created everything, he did it by starting with a formless void and then shaped it with his word. The original Hebrew term to describe this state is tohu, which signifies a state of formlessness, confusion, and total emptiness. God, I believed, did that to show us that in the same way, our lives are like a darkened, formless void until his word comes into them to bring life and peace, beauty and order, focus and purpose. God's word, listened to and adhered to, is what characterizes us from all non-believers. The opposite, however, is true as well. When God's word departs from our lives, when we neglect his direction and his guidance, we descend back into chaos, where the darkness of sin and temptation can quickly engulf us and our life begins to unravel. We see this, for instance, in the plagues that God sends to Egypt in Exodus chapter 7 to 11. Moses brings a word directly from Pharaoh, and when Pharaoh rejects it, the plagues begin. If we're not reading closely, we might just think of the plagues as a random list of cosmic punishments. But they follow the pattern of creation unraveling. Firstly, the Nile turns to blood. The ecosystem is destroyed. Frogs come out of the Nile. And from the dead frogs come gnats. And from the gnats come disease. When God's word is rejected, order becomes disorder. Light becomes darkness, and goodness becomes terror. Had God simply wanted to flex his muscles against Pharaoh, he could just have used a blatant display of power to render Pharaoh's army incompetent or his lands or people infertile. That may well have got the job done. But God wasn't merely demonstrating his power. He was also, perhaps more so, demonstrating just what devastating results sin and rebellion can bring. Sin tears creation apart at the seams, where the word of God creates, sin destroys. Every time, without exception, and the same is true in our lives. Sin breeds darkness. Darkness sustains sin, whilst the Christian way leads us into the light and the fullness of life. Sin unravels our families, puts darkness into our hearts, and places us in bondage to addictions and temptation. But God's word continues to bring order out of such chaos. We witness this transformation in our homes. As parents, we soon learn that our children come into the world in a state of utter chaos and anarchy, screaming when they want to eat or be changed. They grow into willful toddlers who want to rule the home, who want to exercise authority over their parents and their siblings, and who are already showing startling signs of rebellion against both God and mankind. Our task is to love them, to teach them, to discipline them, to urge them, to form them into people of order, of self-control, self-respect, selflessness, of godliness. By doing so, chaos gives way to order. Love and respect are established. Similarly, as Christians, we see the Lord save his people when they come into our churches, our shelters, and soup kitchens with barely a shred of Christian character. They are angry and lost, with no direction or focus to their lives, many addicted to alcohol and drugs. They use their words to harm rather than help. They have only a limited knowledge of God and his ways. So we show love and cares towards them. We teach, reprove, correct, and train them. We display a Christ-like love towards them. And eventually, inevitably, we see chaos replaced by order. We do this again and again as God saves more and more of his people. Through our prayers and our actions, chaos is chased away by order. Darkness chased away by light. But every day God's word continues to bring order out of chaos. And that leads to the second truth, that God's word will redeem what sin has destroyed. Light will overcome the darkness. The Apostle John starts his story of Jesus' life, connecting him to the creation story, as read by Fraser. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus, the Word, the incarnation of the Holy Trinity, would come to re-enter a dark, sin-filled, chaotic world. And that Word would bring life and light once more. We see Jesus do this all throughout his ministry, undoing the chaos and darkness left by sin and redeeming mankind. He heals diseases. He opens the eyes of the blind. He makes the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dead come to life. He walks on water and tells storms to cease and calm, and they listen. He forgives adulterers, murderers, and thieves, drawing them in for intimate fellowship, transforming the impure and the shameful into pillars and characters of virtue. He heals the lepers, cast out by society through strict isolation laws to live in the caves on the fringes of the city, eking out an existence in the impoverished perpetual darkness of their subterranean incarceration. You see, wherever sin had left a dark void in the world, Jesus comes with a thundering word. Let there be light, and there is. Healing and redemption take place. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. But then, at the end of Jesus' life, the strangest thing happened. He is put back into the darkness and the chaos. From the sixth hour to the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. Matthew 27, verse 45. When he died, the earth shook, rocks split, and pitch black darkness fell on the earth. The Spirit of God, who had hovered over him throughout his life, just flitted away. When Jesus cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me? The answer was a stunning and horrifying silence. Jesus, the co-architect of creation, the word of life itself, the light of the world, entered into the darkness and void of sin. And he entered that void so that we, who had rejected the word, could be redeemed and have light and life again. God's word had redeemed what sin had destroyed. Jesus allowed his life to end on the cross so that we could be saved and recreated through his glorious resurrection. Is your life destroyed by sin? Is your family unraveling? Your self-image mired in darkness? If you turn to Christ, he makes all things new. Your life may very well be the picture of chaos, but if God could create everything out of nothing, he can surely recreate everything in you. Reestablish order out of your darkness. If you trust him, he will do it every day, every hour, and every single moment. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John chapter 8, verse 12. Notice that Jesus said, in order to serve him, that we must follow him. And we know that where he is, his servant will be there also. But importantly, Jesus does not call us to serve and shine in places where his light is already shining brightly. Just as he invaded the darkness with his life upon the earth, so too must we. If your light is not shining very brightly, then it may be you are in a place that already has sufficient light. The greater the darkness, the brighter your light can shine. Jesus is calling each one of us to meet him in a dark, potentially chaotic place where he can shine through us. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 10. There may be someone whose life is currently in chaos and surrounded in darkness through illness, loneliness, mental anguish, bereavement, or financial difficulty that Jesus wants you to visit. There, you will experience the glory of God as Jesus touches that person through you. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Jesus is calling you, us, to come to where he is. That is the dark place where you can serve him best by revealing his love to someone in need. Bringing Christ's light into the darkness and chaos of our unraveling world. As expressed in the words of hymn number 724, which we are about to sing, Christ is the voice which calls us to care, and Christ is the one who meets us there. And so by starting with chaos and the darkness of creation, God has taught us two truths about how he works and how we must respond. Firstly, God's word will bring order out of chaos. And secondly, God's word will ultimately redeem what sin has destroyed, and light will overcome the darkness. And our response, to bring Christ's light into the darkness and the chaos of our unraveling world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may we all heed this calling and walk in the light, the glory, and the certainty of the risen Christ, bringing order out of chaos and light into the darkness of our world. Amen.